it's on again, the progressive barn dance of democracy. 5 weeks from now, May the 18th, we'll all be writing numbers in little squares with blunt pencils again to reshuffle the pack back to Canberra again. At the moment, the pack seems to be exhausted after the past week of drama. The politicians have retired, temporarily, from the fray. Mr. Whitlam to relax in Cairns, Mr. Snedden home to Melbourne. And this weekend, much to your relief, perhaps we're giving politics a rest, too. In weeks to come, television and the rest of the media will sell you the image of one candidate or the other. These days, that's how elections are won or lost, a super slick marketing tradition that began in America and was perfected there to push anything from soft drink to God. Here's a highly successful image that sells the end of the world to the tune of millions of dollars each year. The clean-cut face behind the high-powered voice heard all round Australia in regular radio broadcasts. American preacher Garner Ted Armstrong is the heir apparent to a 40-year-old fundamentalist sect which has persuaded its followers to support it into a multi-million dollar enterprise. The worldwide Church of God has survived some bitter criticism in America and is gaining momentum in Australia. This report looks at how much its followers put into it and what they get out of it. In the United States, a nationwide television audience is bombarded with the Armstrong catalogue of the terminal diseases of the world today. The message goes round the globe over hundreds of radio networks.
We're in the midst of a knowledge explosion, and yet the answers to the big questions are as big a mystery as ever.
In Australia, the frightening fundamental application of biblical prophecy to current world events is broadcast on 40 commercial stations. The Armstrong Organization, Ambassador College, and the Worldwide Church of God pays the costly bill.
And the messages have come down to us today, and most of them have yet to be fulfilled during our time.
Garner Ted is reverend by ordination in the church of which his father, Herbert W. Armstrong, is founder and chairman. Together, they preside over a media-based empire with an estimated income of $50 million American dollars a year.
But between now and then, be sure to write for these booklets, How to Understand Prophecy, and the one on Read the Book.
The broadcasts never ask for money. The publications they advertise are free. How then does the organization raise $1 million every year in Australia alone? The money to finance the Armstrong operation is given by Australians like these, 2,500 of them around the country, members of the Worldwide Church of God. A few years ago, they heard their first Garner Ted Armstrong broadcast. Today, secure in the promise of an exalted place in the world tomorrow, they pay a generous tax or tithe to his church.
Yes, we pay a tithe of our income.
Mm-hmm. And that's what proportion?
10%.
And do you give donations or offerings over and above that sometimes?
Yes, when the time comes and when we feel we've got a little extra to spare.
Do you find that difficult, Era? A lot of young couples would find it very difficult to find any spare money at all, I think.
Yeah, sure, but it's a matter of budgeting and finances. It's not really a...
He says, you give and I'll see you right.
But in terms of, you know, finance, we all have mortgages, we all have to buy food, we all have to buy clothes, we have to pay money for them. Now, don't you find that a difficulty?
No, not really. Somehow, all the while, something's come along and we've always had enough, in fact, a lot over. We really have.
Have you?
Yes, we have two daughters here in the church, two sons involved, and we've all been blessed.
Church members first learn of their debt to the church in the Bible Correspondence course, which leads them step by step through the gospel according to the Armstrongs. In a lesson entitled Ending Your Financial Worries, their financial responsibilities begin. It's made clear that God has commanded them to give a tenth of their earnings, that under the New Testament the tenth must be taken from the gross income before personal expenses are deducted, and that tithing is an essential part of the formula by which they can escape the wrath to come. One third of United States and British population is to die from horrifying nuclear attack, punishment for disobedience. The unrepentant will be stricken with excruciatingly painful boils as God destroys the evil works of sinning mankind. Men will be brought low very soon, but but through obedience to God's law, they can escape the wrath to come. A compelling message for those who choose to believe it.
When the millennium comes, you will be God's chosen people, as it were. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, we will be in certain positions of authority, and we will help the rest of the world, and still alive at that time, to learn what we have learned. There is an end, isn't there?
But when the Holocaust comes, in whatever form it comes, you will be, as it were, chosen people after that.
Yeah, well, when the whole Holocaust comes, yes, we are the first fruits. We are the chosen people, yes. We will be resurrected.
Well, we see this as an educational work, trying to reach people with a message, trying to show people what the Bible has to say for this age.
What are you giving money for?
Well, now as it's going out, this gospel, that's Christ's last commission, was this gospel must be preached and published into all nations as a witness.
Publishing to preach to all nations is a very expensive undertaking. It is done not from a church, for there is no church. It's done from the only visible institutional component of the Armstrong operation, Ambassador College. A college with three campuses, in California, Texas, and in England. Places for some 2,000 students. A number of them are drawn from Australian congregations. Of those who apply, about 3 out of 10 will be accepted. The selection process begins at services like this one in Sydney.
And it is vital that if you are planning to go to Ambassador College this coming end of school, coming September, that you contact me today or be at my home sometime tomorrow between 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's necessary because we want to take those who can do well in the college. It's necessary for me to interview you and in some cases to administer an IQ test.
At the end of 4 years, the successful applicants will graduate, thoroughly schooled in Armstrong theology and some other secular subjects, but with a Bachelor of Arts degree which will not be recognised by accredited universities in America or in British Commonwealth countries, including Australia. This may be only a small penalty to pay for an education which offers the graduate the opportunity to be one of God's chosen people in the wonderful world tomorrow.
Are we headed for a deep recession or a depression? Could the stock market actually collapse like it did back in 1929? This booklet really puts you in the picture, shows you how we were forewarned months and even years in advance, what the prices are, what the future looks like, where we go from here. In this booklet, what's behind the energy crisis?
The founder, chancellor, and president of Ambassador College, Herbert W. Armstrong, didn't have a university education at all. He did his training for the ministry in the advertising business. Reared in the American Midwest on cornmeal and buckwheat cakes in a Quaker household, Herbert Armstrong has traced his family tree right back to Adam, in a tortuous genealogy via David and Abraham to an ancient king of Ireland and a British royal family. Before he discovered in the 1930s that he was God's ambassador on earth, he worked as a piano salesman, a purveyor of mud packs, and a highly effective advertising copywriter. In 1925, he helped to sell American housewives on the idea of commercial laundries. In his autobiography, he acknowledges this commercial experience as excellent grounding for his religious life work to come. In 1934, he gave his first religious radio broadcast in Oregon, proved an instant success, and so gave birth to his own Radio Church of God, later called the Worldwide Church of God.
Now for centuries and for millenniums, all down the course of history.
Born in the media, so the church proceeded and prospered into the multi-million dollar computer-coordinated tax-exempt propaganda machine, which is Ambassador College, incorporated in California and financed wholly by donations, and the 240,000 tithe-paying church members around the world. From these giant printing presses, 3 on the Pasadena campus, 2 at the English Ambassador College, and 1 in Sydney, comes a multitude of educational literature, books, folders, correspondence courses, and magazines, in which the Armstrongs preach and prophesy on the filth and moral, mental, and spiritual sickness of the world today, the glories of the new world tomorrow, and the urgent need for more and more money to further God's work. The Plain Truth, in full-color reproduction, printed in several languages. Circulation, 2.5 million worldwide. A document of Armstrong interpretations of Bible prophecy, promoted as an authoritative current affairs journal. It's designed to appeal to a generation troubled by the unhappy state of today's world, a generation looking for answers. Ambassador College has also published a newspaper, Dateline Jerusalem, for the New World Tomorrow. The utopia in which every day is sunny, there's total disarmament, no wild animals, no divorce, and everyone tells the truth.
They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that does good, no, not one. And it goes down to verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Talking about every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth today, including us, including those who call themselves Christians. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God.
If the Armstrong interpretations of the Bible are convincing to church members, many other Christians find them unacceptable, like Reverend Roger Bush, writer, broadcaster, Methodist minister.
It's basic fundamentalism and takes the Bible, I think, more than literally. And when I say more than literally, I mean it takes the Bible literally, but with one man or two men's specific approach to what it has to say as an authoritative approach.
Is there actually a distortion of the Bible in the preachings of Herbert W. Armstrong?
Well, personally, I believe there is. I think that he manoeuvres the textual material of the Bible out of context to support a point of view that I do not think is in the mainstream of Christian thought.
Why do apparently so many people adhere to the Armstrongs' preaching so literally?
Well, I don't think it's only to Armstrongs' preaching. I mean, but Armstrong particularly presents his in a very authoritative manner. Now, there's a great hunger for a voice of authority, and I think if you look in the community of the Western world, you will find that they are looking for leadership. They're looking for somebody who can speak almost in a dictatorial way. And if they can support it with the beautifully produced material that this man produces, it carries with it. And particularly, hang it on the Bible, you know, boy, it's authoritative, all right. And that's the way God's speaking. And if I don't do it, he'll really belt me with a baseball bat. But, you know, that's not God.
So people really are looking for certainties, for something black and white.
Absolutely. Wouldn't you like some certainties in your life?
Do you think that the Worldwide Church of God, in its crying doom for today, is playing on people's fear?
If you can shout doom long enough and hold the old sword of Damocles over people's heads long enough, they'll come to the party.
Does it mean that only very gullible people are going to be attracted to these teachings?
I would think that people with areas of weakness in their own faith, searching for an authority that they don't find in their present experience, are more likely to fall for this than the average person.
Which church did you belong to before you came into the Worldwide Church of God?
The Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm. And both of you?
Yes.
And what made the change? Why did you come into this church?
Well, I heard the radio program, and it was so much common sense, and it stirred me up to look into a lot of things that I'd just taken for granted. And I spent quite a number of years looking into all the aspects of what they taught, and I came to realise that this church was teaching true Christianity. I suppose, like most people, I was quite indifferent to whether there was a God and what he wanted us to do about it if there was. But there did come a time when I did begin to wonder about that. And I heard the radio program, and I thought that this chap seemed to know what he was talking about. And I kept listening for a while and seeing if what he said was actually in the Bible, and sure enough, there it was.
To reinforce their faith, co-workers and brethren of the church get regular private letters from the head of the church himself. Paternal, pastoral letters documenting the progress of the most wonderful work on earth and describing his miraculously arranged meetings with many world leaders as he travels the globe in his private jet. Most of Mr. Armstrong's letters end the same way.
The financial need is always with us, and usually more urgent than I'm afraid many co-workers realize. I can only do my part, as you may sacrifice and generously do your part. It is urgently needed in the most important work on earth. If you, for example, withhold even a single dollar or two you could give, you are depriving many from hearing Christ's gospel. You are helping to change the world, and soon to save the whole world. The need is still most urgent.
These letters, of course, are intended only for church members and wouldn't normally be shown to anybody else. But they've been given to me by worried people who have a husband or a wife, or in some cases children, who have committed themselves to Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God. It seems that the influence of this organisation has produced a good deal of unhappiness and in some cases financial distress in several families who've got in touch with Four Corners. Perhaps the most revealing aspect of their distress is their fear that the Armstrong disciples in their family should discover that they've been in touch with this program. With only one exception, they insisted that no name or address or any hint of their identity should be given. One woman from a Queensland country town writes, "My son and wife have been in the Worldwide Church of God for 9 years. They won't listen to any criticism of the church or even discuss it. I can't visit my son's home without an appointment in case I run into one of the ministers there. My son and his wife both work and could be quite comfortably off by now, but they give so much of their earnings to the church, and their house is badly neglected as far as furniture or any home comforts are concerned. I love my son and I don't want to lose him altogether, so I can't speak out about this church or it would end what relationship we have." In another letter, "My wife and I hardly have any marriage left at all. Garner Ted Armstrong seems to run our house. Certainly I don't. But I make sure my wife gets just enough housekeeping money and no more, otherwise she'd give it to him. People don't realise what the Worldwide Church of God and Ambassador College really stand for. Even if Armstrong's church was banned now or run out of this country, it would be too late for me. They've taken away 4 years of my life and my wife's affection. Now she's bringing up our children, according to Herbert W. Armstrong. Would Four Corners consider doing a segment on this organisation so that too many more unsuspecting people don't get sucked in?"
This man says he's lost 3 of his 4 children to the Worldwide Church of God. 2 of them are now at Ambassador College in England. His youngest daughter joined the church in Sydney in 1966 at the age of 19 and resisted all attempts made by his wife and himself to discuss their objections to the emotional and financial influence exerted on her by the church.
Well, she would have given not so much a proportion of her wages, but virtually every penny that she was capable of giving. She would draw a large sums out of the bank, for instance.
Out of her savings?
Oh, yes, and would give it to them.
Her parents say that over a period of 18 months, this girl, who was earning only $40 a week as a stenographer, gave a total of $600 to the church. At that time, it was still known as the Radio Church of God. This receipt for $28 was for just 1 month's payment, December 1966.
At one stage there, she was ill and she wanted to have one of the henchmen from the organization come across with an anointed cloth. There's a special letter that this organization has that tells them what to do with this special cloth.
"Just place this handkerchief upon the forehead of the one who is sick, and the sickness or disease will depart, and the body be made whole and well."
It's funny, I know about half a dozen who had suffered financial distress because of contributions to this organisation, who've got no money back and who've been practically, well, I won't say stood over, that'd be an unkind word, but they've been assured firmly that they should be maintaining their contributions, and I know one case of a broken marriage and a number of other tottery ones, one where the woman's gone to another country to live, and how she got there I do not know, because she would never be able to afford to go on her own.
Mr. Dennis Luca is minister and spokesman for the Worldwide Church of God in Australia.
You don't think that any financial hardship is caused in any of the Australian families who tithe, who give money to support the church?
Well, I think that there are, yes. I would have to say yes on that, but I personally, as a minister, I would attribute the hardship to the high tax system in Australia. Since arriving in Australia, I and my staff have presented a report on the problem in Australia of tax and tithing to try to present the issues to headquarters about some of the difficulties our members have.
Several husbands have complained to me that you've alienated their wives' affections. Several parents have told me how upset they are about their children joining your church, paying a lot of money to your church, refusing to enter into any discussion with them about the church.
Well, I would wish that they would come to us. That's all I could say. And if they're afraid to come to me, it's probably, or Mr. Halford, who would be our local pastor here in Sydney. I think they would find a man who would be very gentle and loving and kind and very willing to help them. And maybe they've gotten a wrong idea or concept about us through their husband or wife.
Does it upset you that there are some cases such as this?
Yes, it does. I'm disturbed about it.
One fairly elderly woman who has a son in your church told me that she had major operation recently, and he said to her, "You're quite wrong, you know, if you let them give you blood transfusion after this operation. If you are to die, that's God's will." Has he misinterpreted your teachings?
Yes, he has, because that is not what we would teach or say.
But have you some reservations about it in principle?
Yes, I do, because I have several doctor's reports on the potential dangers of a blood transfusion.
But is your reservation about blood transfusions based on any sort of Bible teaching?
Only in principle. Only in principle. It is not a dogmatic doctrine.
But where do you find that
statement?
But where do you find that principle in the Bible?
It would come under the matter of divine healing, that a person should have faith in God. And a doctor might feel that they should have a blood transfusion, and I would just feel that it's a personal decision that they would need to make.
Can you foresee a situation in which a doctor might say you should have this blood transfusion to save your life, and a person might, through strong principles such as you've suggested, refuse such a transfusion?
Well, that's possible. That would depend on that individual, though, and I certainly would not encourage him to do that or in any way, you know, say, well, yes, I would advise you that you should not have the blood transfusion. I would never do that.
Well, but has any member of your church ever taken that action?
They probably have in the past. I can't think of any specific cases right now, but I suppose there probably are some who would. It would depend upon their own strong personal convictions.
Ambassador College and the Worldwide Church of God occupy offices on the 13th floor of the high-priced, high-rise combined insurance building in North Sydney. They're registered in Australia under the Companies Act as non-profit foreign companies. Both are exempt from income tax. Ambassador College is designated as a seminary of learning conducted through the auspices of the Worldwide Church of God. The directors are all American. Some of the college books lay down strict rules, according to the Armstrongs, for family life, marriage, sex, and child-rearing.
And you wives, does every one of you absolutely honor, respect, hold your husband in high esteem, and even a little bit of awe? Do you look upon him and treat him with the same deference and respect as you might Jesus Christ himself in the flesh? Father must be the head of the home. The man must be the dominating personality. All children are potentially juvenile delinquents. Punish your child with love. An extremely effective implement is one of the lighter ping-pong bats applied to the bare buttocks. Tell a dog which has been trained to come here and it will obey. Instill obedience into your children. Teach your children to show respect to any and all elders. Teach them to play orderly games. Games with rules to be followed.
Dr. Susie Owen is a Sydney psychiatrist who's formed some personal opinions on Ambassador College philosophy in these areas. Ambassador College books on child rearing place great stress on obedience. What do you think about those ideas?
Terrible. I think that the unconditional acceptance that children need to be reared like, I think they make a point of comparing it to dog training, is just so awful. To treat children as just objects to be trained is morally wrong. But furthermore, the underlying premise is that children are intrinsically bad and that it is our duty as parents to make them good. I think children are probably intrinsically good. I have the faith that people are intrinsically good, and it's all the frustrations that we impose on them, including highly restrictive moral frustrations, that may contribute to them being bad if they become bad.
If the Ambassador College teachings could produce some of the frustrations we've been talking about,
why do the teachings, very literal black and white teachings, apparently appeal to quite a number of people?
People need guidelines, and it is easier to have guidelines from outside than guidelines from inside.
We'd like to send you a reprint article called Death Rides the High Road, so you and your children can read it, study it, in fact. It's up to date, it's full of information and instruction you should have, so send now for your free copy of Death Rides the High Road.
This booklet carries inside the front cover a letter of endorsement from New South Wales Transport Minister Morris, giving the publication the appearance of an official government document. How did Ambassador College obtain this top-level support?
Well, I was approached by people who called themselves an ambassador college, who were interested in getting the road safety message across to young people, and of course this was the inducement that I was offered, because I'm always ready to acclaim any organisation who want to get a road safety message across.
And what did you think of the text of the publication?
The text of the publication was very good, but I learnt just a day or two ago, to my horror, that there has been added to the publication, which I had not previously seen, an indication where one may write the literature about this church. When I was approached, there was no indication that it was from this particular sect at all.
Had you known, would you have made a different decision at the time?
I would have, because I know something of these people, and I know something of the travail and heartache that they've caused in many countries where they've been, not the least Australia. Mm-hmm. But of course they live on misrepresentation.
Another well-produced Ambassador College publication. Another highly respected Australian to recommend it. New South Wales Police Commissioner Hanson. Inserted into the back of the book, an advertisement for The Plain Truth, the magazine which may lead the reader into membership of the Worldwide Church of God. Commissioner Hanson has now withdrawn permission for further use of his letter in this publication. But the Armstrongs are suffering greater embarrassments than this back at headquarters. Time magazine of 4th of March this year reports an insistent rumour in church circles that Garner Ted Armstrong, married with 3 children, may have broken the law of his own church, which condemns adultery as a sin for which the price is eternal punishment, eternal death.
Mr. Ted Armstrong has just mentioned that any problems that he has had have been repented of and dealt with by his father, and that he is presently carrying on his duties and responsibilities to the best of his ability.
You don't feel disillusioned at all as a fellow minister?
No, I'm not disillusioned with Mr. Ted Armstrong. He has proven absolutely that he's a very qualified man in doing his job.
In your view, are the Armstrongs making any contribution to Christian life?
My personal opinion is no. I'm not speaking for any church or any group. I'm speaking for Roger Bush. I don't think they are. I think they're doing the Christian faith more harm than good.
And there are reasons and causes for crime, crime at all levels, and that's what I want to discuss in a short series of programs on crime, global crime. The impact of skyrocketing prices is even more important, perhaps, in the Arab oil embargo. Partial cutbacks or total cutbacks. Now, total cutbacks would be an enormous... Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
Garner Ted Armstrong, a man with a multi-million dollar message. And here's another message to touch your heart, literally.